Further Review is brought to you by Consumers Beverages, Buffalo's beer store. Visit us online at consumersbeverages.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Further Review, BuffaloNews.com. I'm Ryan O'Halloran, joined by Jay Skrzyski, as always. We're about 12 hours removed from Bills 27, Ravens 25, the first such 27-25 game in playoff history. And Jay, I'll start off with what you started off with in today's paper is the defense. They got embarrassed in week four, but they did just enough in a lot of areas to beat the Ravens on Sunday night.
Yeah, so playoff scoregami. How about that? I did not know that. I like it. But yeah, you're right, Ryan. They did. Just enough is probably the best way to put it. Listen, this is a unit that has lived and died by the takeaways really all year. And they're tough to rely on. They're tough to depend on. But they keep finding a way to get them. And win the turnover battle 3-0 in a playoff game, you're overwhelmingly likely to win the game. Now, the Bills challenged that. They made it difficult, I guess is probably the best word. But yeah, the defense made enough plays. And you know, when you look at the stats in the game, this is a game that the Ravens controlled in many ways, right? In terms of yards, third down conversions, those kinds of things. But turnovers are game-changing type of plays. Takeaways, as Bobby Babich likes to always correct us, takeaways are game-changing plays. And the Bills came up with three of those. Probably none bigger than Terrell Bernard's strip of Mark Andrews in the fourth quarter. That's just a guy in Bernard who missed that week four game, who has continued to show this knack for making big plays. And, you know, you look at the guys that were involved in those takeaways. It was Bernard. It was Matt Milano, I thought, you know, got some good pressure that maybe led to a hurried pass. He missed that game. Taron Johnson was back. I think Von Miller was out too, right? Was he not suspended for that Baltimore game?
Not yet.
Maybe it started the next week, but yeah,
That's the one. Remember that? Remember Jay? That's the one where he mysteriously barely played.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, because they were so run heavy, and I think he might have had only less than 10 snaps in that game, so the impact wasn't felt. He made his impact felt last night. So the way that you needed guys to step up, right? They got that. And again, you know, I talked to Rasul Douglas after the game. He called the Bernard strip of Andrews at midfield the by far the biggest play of the game, and it's hard to argue with that. You know, it's a 5-point game at that time, and you know, we'll talk about the offense later in the show, but you know, I think the key takeaway here is, and not to use a pun there, but if you take away the ball three times and the offense doesn't turn it over, you should win that game every time.
Yeah, I mean, this moves the Bills for the season out of plus 26 in turnover differential. That's why they're one step away from the Super Bowl. But you know, one of my go-to cliches this year is this team is greater than the sum of its individual parts. And last night on defense was illustrated that Hamlin gets a takeaway, Vaughn recovers a fumble, Terrell Bernard gets a takeaway, Taylor Rapp an interception, and then the run game, okay, one play it's Ed Oliver, then it's AJ, then it's Greg Rousseau. So, I mean, it was a team effort. And like Mark Gahn and I talked about after the game, it's rare that a defense gets passing marks when they allow 176 yards rushing. You know, but that's how good the Ravens are. And I'll speak on the Ravens offense. This is a bad loss for Lamar Jackson. I mean, he's, you know, first team all pro. He's got two MVPs. He may add a third to go with his three playoff wins. The interception, I mean, Milano was bearing down on him. He wasn't even close on that throw. The fumble, he should have just went down when Hamlin had his leg. That was an unforced error. And then, you know, the 2-point conversion, that's a tough catch to make. Still got to make it. But I didn't really like that play call. I mean, either 2-point conversion, I thought the Bills got breaks on, is I would have taken my chances with Derrick Henry, especially on the first one. But, you know, this was a defense that, hey, you know, anybody who says they don't know what's going on outside on media is lying. They knew that they were being doubted. They got the questions all week, and justifiably so. How are you going to do it? Well, they turn it around, and the defense did enough to win the game.
Yeah, a couple things there. Number one, I mean, this is not a Further Review Ravens podcast. It's a Bills podcast. But, you know, what about questioning John Harbaugh for going for two in the third quarter, right? If he kicks the extra point there, they don't have to go for two at the end of the game. So I think, you know, there's some second guessing involved probably going on in Baltimore today. One key sequence that we haven't touched on that I think we need to is the second quarter. They get the Ravens get first and goal at the 2 yard line after a long throw to Bateman, and the next play is a Derrick Henry run. It goes for a loss of 1 yard. I want to say it was Dorian Williams maybe in on that tackle. Yeah, and then on second down, I think Jackson gets tripped up in the pocket. Rousseau kind of gets a freebie sack where he goes in and touches him down. But all of a sudden, it's third and goal on the 8 yard line. Incomplete, I think, on the next pass. They hold
into traffic.
Into traffic, right? Yeah, almost intercepted, if I remember. And all of a sudden, it's a field goal opportunity. And in a game that ultimately is decided by 2 points, that was a huge sequence in that game. I know Mark Gaughan tweeted it after. He said that he counted that as a win against the Ravens, or a stop against that Ravens offense. That maybe gets lost a little bit by the takeaways, but I thought that was a huge, huge sequence for the defense there.
It really was, because that came right after the Bills had marched down and answered a touchdown. So they sort of settled it down a little bit. I'm glad you mentioned Dorian Williams. I'll finish it up on the defense. We thought they had to go a little bit more of their 4-3 to combat that Raven run game. So they weren't stubborn. They started the game in it. They went back to it. And I think that's something they got to stick with in Kansas City, because the Chiefs are probably going to challenge them too with some of those two tight ends, even 6-0 lineman sets.
Get your cold beer here at Consumers Beverages, where you'll find the largest selection of craft, specialty, import, and domestic beer. Consumers Beverages has the fastest empty container returns at all 18 locations. Visit consumersbeverages.com, Buffalo's Beer Store.
And Ryan, this was a game that the Bills needed those takeaways. They needed that defensive performance, because it was, I would say, an uneven game offensively for this team. 21 points in the first half, 3 out of 4 touchdowns on drives in the first half. Things were looking pretty good. Much different story, though, after halftime. Just 2 field goals from Tyler Bass in the fourth quarter accounts for the 6 points. What were your takeaways from the offense? And then I want to ask you about Joe Brady as well, but let's just start generally.
Yeah, I thought Josh Allen was going to be more active in this game in terms of keepers. I mean, he ended up running 10 times for 20 yards, 2 touchdowns. But in that second half, they were prime position for the coveted double dip. It was 21-10. If you march down to start the third quarter, make it 28-10. I don't see the Ravens coming back or even really threatening. 3 and out, then another punt. So I just felt like, they maybe stuck with the run up the middle too much, because every time James Cook was having to bounce outside because there just wasn't nothing, there wasn't anything up the middle. But, I mean, every yard that Cook got was tough. Ray Davis, I thought, ran well. But the passing game was just not there. The deep shots, be it reluctance to take them or the Ravens defending him, you didn't see that at all. There were a couple plays. Hey, I'm a Dawson Knox guy. He should not be catching slip screens. He'd probably be the first one to say that. And I was, okay, what's the check there? But then lastly, on the offense, it's, you got to put the game away there at the end. On that third down, I would have probably tried a tush-push to get it in the 4th and inches, and then Sean probably would have went for it definitely. But it was a sort of a funky play in which for a second there, it looked like Allen was going to pitch it back. Yeah. He luckily for him didn't.
Yeah. Listen, I think as we get a little bit more removed from this game, in the immediate aftermath, right, what are people thinking? They're relieved that they've won, that they survived and that they've advanced. And I get that feeling entirely. And ultimately that's what matters. But that isn't to say that there isn't, and that's why we call this podcast Further Review, right? We review the game a little bit more, and I think there's some second guessing here involved for Joe Brady. Yeah. This is the number one run defense in the NFL, and what did they have? 36 rushing attempts to 22 pass attempts. It's hard to figure. It didn't make a lot of sense. I mean, you've got Josh freaking Allen. Like, let him throw the ball at times. And so, the Ravens' weakness was pass defense coming into this game, but something about this matchup, and you go back to week 4, just the Bills, I don't know, I just thought the Bills looked confused offensively. Allen was doing a lot of checking at the line of scrimmage with his offensive linemen in terms of getting people on the same page. They looked out of sync a lot at times on offense. You even look to the very first play of the game. Allen's got Mac Hollins running deep down the left sideline. He overthrows him, so there were a couple of uncharacteristic missed throws from Allen, but I'll be interested to hear from Joe Brady. I mean, I'm sure he's not going to go deep into the game plan, but the idea that they were so run heavy against such a good running defense and seemingly reluctant to throw the ball is kind of hard to figure. And, you know, there are some other trouble areas. Listen, I mean, Khalil Shakir has 67 yards. Outside of that, their next leading receiver had 15 yards, and that was James Cook. Yeah. So, boy, oh boy, I mean, where is Keon Coleman? Where is Amari Cooper? Where are the tight ends? There are definitely some questions coming out of this game for the offense.
And I'm glad you mentioned Cooper. You know, all season, the Josh and I said, well, I'm not forcing it to anybody. Well, I think sometimes you got to. I think you got to get Amari Cooper involved early against Kansas City. You got to give Keon Coleman a shot. You know, if I'm Josh, I know what I have in Shakir. I can go to him at any point. I don't need to get. I don't need to hit. I don't need to find him early to get him going. You know, number 10 is going to be going. You know, Kincaid has been underwhelming. You don't really remember anything he does. Same with Cooper and Coleman. So, I think it was an interesting Joe Brady game in terms of, was he really trying to take the air out of the football and keep the ball away? Well, that these are good teams you're playing. They're going to make stops. They're going to make you pay for that. And, you know, I asked Connor McGovern, what you just mentioned, Jay, about the communication at the line. I said, hey, it felt like the play clock was going down to the end a lot. He goes, this game was a handful because the Ravens were really changing their fronts, who's lined up where, who's going to blitz. And he said, him and Allen were really communicating the whole way. I said, so was it confusion or just trying to, figure out what's going on? He said, pretty much this, hey, let's make sure we trust what we're seeing. And, you know, and some of those times the Ravens were just better. Well, Jay, let's take a look at the NFC. We'll get the Chiefs in the next segment. Washington upsets Detroit. Philadelphia outlasts the Rams. Let's start with Saturday night. I mean, we saw this Detroit defense in person last month. I mean, they finally just broke down.
They did, and I think we should have seen it coming. I think they were ripe for that type of game or that type of an upset, you know, because of the injuries. I mean, they were just, you know, too beat up. And then, you know, the thing that I said to Mark Gaughan in the press box yesterday before the Bills game started was, I think this was the type of game where you're reminded that Jared Goff was traded for a reason, right? And that a team was willing to give up on him. He had a terrific season. There's no taking that away from him, but I just wonder, you know, in those biggest moments, can you really trust him? And I get it. You know, he's made it to a Super Bowl, but he didn't perform well in that, you know, for the Rams. He really struggled in that. And so I think in the biggest moments that Goff is the type of quarterback where you've got some questions, but let's not take away anything from what Washington did too. I mean, the turnaround from a 4-win team with a brand new head coach and a rookie starting quarterback is one of the more remarkable that we've seen in the league. I mean, Jaden Daniels is doing things that no other quarterback has done. I believe, the amount of rookie quarterbacks that have won two road playoff games is, I think it's him and Joe Flacco, maybe one other one. Mark Sanchez. Thank you. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, it's a pretty short list here with what Daniels is doing, and everything that I'm reading, I'm sure you're reading too, Ryan, is saying that the poise that he shows is just out of this world for a rookie.
Yeah. I mean, there are +5 in turnovers on Saturday night. And as I'm watching that, I remember us being there last month and just how loud that building was. I mean, it was ringing, and for him to show that composure, I mean, I'm impressed. I mean, you know, like these other guys are going to be good from this class, but he obviously is ahead of the curve. Before the Bills game in the snow in Philadelphia, it was the Eagles beating the Rams. All right, does Jamestown's Nick Sirianni, does he get it done next week?
You know, I think so. I mean, they should. They're at home, right? I think they have the more talented team. I think it. You know, again, another hostile atmosphere for Jaden Daniels to go into as a rookie quarterback. I think that's asking a lot. Something about this Eagles team just feels slightly off to me. I think maybe it's Jalen Hurts, whatever it is, the chemistry. I don't know. We're not around it on a daily basis, but there just seems to be a lot of drama around that team. You know, you got A.J. Brown reading a book on the sideline in a playoff game. I don't know. They're a hard team to get a read on, but they're a talented team. And obviously Barkley and what he's doing is remarkable, but he's obviously the engine of that offense. I'm fascinated by that game, right? Because can Washington keep it up? I think the pressure is solely on Philadelphia in that game because of, you know, I mean, Washington's playing with house money, right? And so you know, I don't think that the weather is going to be as impactful as maybe it was yesterday. I thought the Rams looked a little flustered by that. I mean, you see Puka Nacua. I thought he was the best receiver we saw all year, Ryan. You know, he's got a pretty clear drop that, you know, does he drop that if they're playing in Los Angeles? I just don't think he does.
Yeah, you mentioned Barkley. I mean, probably one of the best free agent signings in league history, up there with Reggie White going Philadelphia to Green Bay. Barkley, 26 for 205 and two touchdowns, average 7.9 a carry. I'm going to go with the Eagles as well. I just feel like their defense is going to find a way, and Vic Fangio's had great success against rookie quarterbacks, as Sean McDermott has. So I'll go with Philadelphia advancing, and we'll talk about Chiefs-Bills next.
All right, Ryan, this is it. Chiefs-Bills, AFC Championship game, opportunity for the Bills to erase a lot of painful history, recent history, and not so recent history, quite honestly, if we're going back a long way to the Super Bowl years. But that's what's at stake. Legacy defining type of a game for Josh Allen, for Sean McDermott, maybe especially. You wrote this past week that the game against the Ravens was the biggest of Sean McDermott's career. Maybe I can get you a day off. We could just change a couple of names in the column this week, and yeah, you can just run that bad boy again, and you could take a day off this week. No, you know, what do you think? Is this now the biggest game of Sean McDermott's career?
It is, and I thought he coached like it Sunday night. I think they coached with urgency on defense, and I think they'll be the same going against the Chiefs. It's, I mean, when you get this close, it was their second conference championship game since, what, 95, something like that. And, you know, they lost in Kansas City a couple of years ago. I mean, this, what I talked to players about last night in the locker room, hey, when you walked off the field in week 11 after beating the Chiefs, you pretty much figured you'd see him again. And the unanimous opinion was yes, just a matter of where that game was going to be played. I mean, they've won a couple at Arrowhead in the regular season. Obviously, the playoff stuff is well documented. But I'll just to dig into the matchup for a second, the Chiefs kept Travis Kelce on ice for most of the season, and they sort of busted him out after 3 weeks of inactivity against the Texans. I think he's going to be the key. Can the Bills linebackers cover him? Andrews and Likely both got open Sunday night for the Ravens.
Yeah, you know, I think this is a Chiefs team that is playing better than what they were in week 11 when we saw them. I left that night from Highmark Stadium feeling definitively like the Bills were better than Kansas City. I don't know that I can necessarily say that right now based on how the Chiefs have played, although, you know, you look at their performance against Houston, they scored, what, 23 points? I'd sign up for that right now, right? Wouldn't you? I mean, if you're the Bills, you hold Kansas City to 23, I think you got to like your chances in this game. But having Hollywood Brown back, having Isaiah Pacheco back, having, you know, Travis Kelce, as you mentioned, being, you know, it's the Travis Kelce that we've all known and Bills fans know all too much of. So, yeah, for the defense, this is another for Sean McDermott, you know, going back to Arrowhead, going against Andy Reid. We all know the storylines. It's probably the, you know, I would say best rivalry in football of the last 5 years or so, at least, is Kansas City-Buffalo. And so, yeah, it starts with the defense, but I do think that when you look at the way that the Bills have played offensively in the first two rounds of the playoffs, they have shown an ability and a willingness to run the ball against whoever they're playing. And the Kansas City run defense is not on the level that Baltimore's and Denver's was even the week before that. And so maybe this is the type of game where, as you mentioned, you take the air out of the football a little bit. You see if you can establish. Listen, at this point, it's a pattern, right, Ryan? I mean, they have establish the run and said, we are going to impose our will with this offensive line. You know, a couple of guys last night, Ty Johnson in particular, said, I don't think this Bills offensive line is getting the credit it deserves. And he might be right. You know, they are really leading the way in terms of being able to run the football. And so it'll be fascinating to see what the game plan is for the Chiefs. But, you know, what an opportunity. What, you know, and I think we should mention here too, right, that this was a transition year. This was the rebuilding year for this franchise. And so for them to get to this point, I think, is a success. But when you're this close, you can't be there's no moral victories anymore, right? You got to go finish the job. They've got an opportunity in front of them. I don't know that this is the dominant Kansas City that we've seen it be in years past. They're vulnerable. I believe they're vulnerable. I believe that the Bills are as good or a better team. Just go out and prove it.
And I'm going to pick the Bills because I feel like they will be able to do some things on offense. And you mentioned the Chiefs scoring 23 points. You watch the game, you watch them every week, and you're like, okay, why are they being stopped? Well, yeah. Turnovers and penalties. And it just, you know, they have a burst, then they take a step back. Their offensive line is very penalty prone. And I would challenge Joe Thuney at left tackle. I mean, he is a Pro Bowl, I'd say maybe verge of a Hall of Fame guard who they have had to kick outside out of necessity. I would challenge him with Rousseau. I'd give him a little bit of Vaughn, even though Vaughn usually lines up against the right tackle. So this is what, I mean, I think $60 million is going to be the rating. We'll be there at Arrowhead, so it should be exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. We will, as you said, be there at Arrowhead. We're looking forward to that. And then we will be back next Monday with another edition of the Further Review podcast. So for Ryan O'Halloran, I am Jay Skirsky. Thank you so much for watching here at BuffaloNews.com.
Consumers Beverages, Buffalo's beer store since 1948. Find out what our latest deals are by visiting consumersbeverages.com.